nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
All right. Welcome to the Time Machine, where we don't just talk about history, we relive it, trying to learn lessons from the past to apply to the here and now, because history doesn't always repeat, but we know it usually rhymes. Now buckle up and set your dials as we journey through the ages, exploring stories, people, and events that shaped our world. I'm Dan, the Worshiping Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today, and I'm joined by some amazing guests, Ron, Jamie Lynn, and the professor. Is everybody ready to fire up the engine and head back to 1972 and the Watergate break-in?
Let's do it.
Cheers. Let's go.
Okay, everybody get back into the time machine. We have to go back to a better time when presidents weren't committing crimes, right?
The good old days.
The good old days. So Watergate was, as if you're not aware, a break-in refers to the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. And it was a very famous break-in by a group of people who were employed all the way at the top by the then president at the time, Richard Nixon. And they were breaking into the offices of the Democratic National Committee, the Democrats, their political rivals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is there's a lot we could talk about here. There's a lot we could talk about here. But I want to start with the actual kind of a timeline of the night of June 17th, 1972. Well, I say that. Apologies. This wasn't the first time they broke in to the office, by the way, when they got arrested, when they got caught on June 17th.
Repeat offenders, eh?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they broke in and they bugged the phones, right? They actually opened up the telephone and installed a physical device. So if you're using cell phones, it's, you know, they put an app on that logged all the stuff, right? In 1972, they actually physically had to open it and install an electronic device, which they did not do properly.
Lovely.
So they had to break in again.
They couldn't even do that right.
They had to break in again to do it again, to fix it.
Wow.
Masterminded by three key figures that we know of. G. Gordon Liddy, who is a conservative radio host today. He did spend time in prison for this. He was known as the mastermind of the break-in. He's a former FBI agent, and he was general counsel for the Committee to Reelect the President, and you can't make this shit up. The acronym is CREEP, CREEP.
Maybe it meant something different then.
And still, he is a conservative hero to this day.
To this day, sadly. But, you know, I mean, they got a thing for criminals. I'm just saying. All right. Also involved a guy named E. Howard Hunt. And he's part of my favorite conspiracy about all of this. And we'll certainly dive into that a little bit later. He is a former CIA officer, and he was a member of what was known as the White House Plumbers, a team of people like G. Gordon Liddy. They cleaned up the messes. They did the dirty work, right? And then another CIA officer named James W. McCord Jr. Was involved. So they hired four Cuban Americans.
Oh, Lordy.
Who had been involved in anti-Castro activities for the break-in that night.
Wow.
It was James McCord and four Cuban American immigrants they got that were already active.
Who thought that was a good idea?
You know what? That's got to be like the scapegoat. That's their scapegoat. They didn't go this direction with it because I think it blew up, but I think they were just hoping, like, okay, well, that's my supposition. Like, they were hoping they could pin it on him, but now that I'm thinking about it, it makes way more sense that the racist people are like, we got to commit a crime. Let's hire some brown.
Let's get some Cubans over here. They know how to do it.
I know where we can find someone to do some criming.
Right. You know who's good at crime? Immigrants. We'll get immigrants.
It has some resonance. Lordy.
Oh, that's sadly more the most likely Occam's razor.
It really is.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Their name so they enter the Watergate complex through the basement door. They had previously put tape on the door latch so it wouldn't lock, so they could go in and out without having to pick the lock again.
That old gag.
That old gag, right?
Wow.
And the tape was found by the security guard. He was like, what the hell is this tape doing here? He removes it, and they, well, you know, put it back. We'll get back to that later. It's around 1 a.m. They've retaped the basement door latch. They go up to the sixth floor of the Watergate Hotel, where the DNC headquarters are, and they start repairing the listening devices and going through the files looking for information. Mm-hmm. This whole time, they're communicating with E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy, who are in a nearby hotel room, monitoring their progress and providing instructions to them. So the guy, Frank Willis, the security guard, notices the tape again, and he's like, okay,
didn't I
hold
refix
on.
This? What the fuck?
Hold on now.
Something's going on here.
This wasn't from some kids this afternoon.
This is not a prank.
I saw an interview, and I don't remember who it was with. It was when I was much younger, but they were explaining, it might have been Frank Willis. He was explaining how most professionals will tape vertically on the door jamb so you don't notice the tape. Mm-hmm. And these guys taped horizontally, so when you walked by the door, there was a piece of tape sticking out.
Awesome.
Maroons.
So it wasn't even hard for Frank Wills to discover this.
Wow.
So he calls the cops, right? And he's like, hey, I think there's a burglary in progress somewhere in the hotel. So the cops show up at 2:30 a.m., an hour and a half later.
Oh, Lordy.
An hour and a half after they retaped the door, I should say. But they've been in the building for an hour and a half when the cops
get there.
What
are they doing? It takes that long to fix your fucked up phones?
They're going through the files.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
So they go up to the sixth floor and they catch everybody red-handed. And they arrest the five men. James McCord, the former CIA officer. Bernard Barker, Cuban-American, former CIA operative. Virgilio Gonzalez, Cuban-American locksmith. Eugenio Martinez, Cuban-American and CIA asset. And Frank Sturgis, Cuban-American and former soldier.
They had a locksmith and they still had to tape the door open?
Yeah, right. Well, they don't want to have to keep picking the lock to go in and out that door, right? They want easy access if they had to take stuff out. Huh. But yes, they had a locksmith.
A locksmith. Here, I got a trick. Might be risky.
You have one job.
So, though the five people, were initially arrested, it did not stop there. Nixon administration quickly denied any involvement. But as we know, Woodward and Bernstein of the Washington Post, they began as journalists. And this is why we need good journalism. This is one of the reasons why good journalism
absolutely
is so necessary to a thriving republic. That information untarnished. I mean, now we've got issues with who owns all of the media and what and how they're pushing that. But at least at this point, the Washington Post was like, okay, we'll stand up. And they did a great job of uncovering all the connections between those burglars all the way to the White House. Now, it turns out they had an anonymous source name as Deep Throat, which we'll talk more about Deep Throat later, I promise. And it is the film you're thinking of.
All right.
Was later revealed to be FBI Associate Director Mark Felt. He started giving them information. So we now know that the FBI wanted this to come out. Hmm. Right? They didn't want this to get buried. Certainly, if you're on Nixon's team Nixon, you're thinking, like, what an evil thing the FBI did. But know that this FBI director was actually ensuring justice, which was his job. He did a wonderful job at that. Thank you, Mark Felt. Thank you, Woodward and Bernstein, who are, I think, is it Woodward still doing
Woodward? Yeah.
Stuff today?
Yeah, he's still doing good work out
he
there.
Is.
Yeah. Back to G. Gordon Liddy. Who is one of the masterminds here. He's former FBI agent, lawyer, member of CREEP and the White House Plumbers.
CREEP.
He took full responsibility for the break-in. and he refused to implicate anybody.
The fall guy.
Yeah, yeah. The buck stops here, right, with him. But you know what? Later, and then this is when it starts to get fun. He later said the official version of Watergate is as wrong as a Flat Earth Society pamphlet.
A strong word.
And I'm on the conspiracy theory train about what that means, and I want to get through the narrative before we get to suppositions.
Nixon was framed.
Right. So he worked, and we know he was working with E. Howard Hunt, the former CIA officer, who was also, this guy was longtime CIA guy. He all the way back to Bay of Pigs. That could also be why he had the connections to the Cuban Americans, right? The CIA Bay of Pigs invasion that they were pissed off at Kennedy for. Hunt was involved in that. As things came to light with Woodward's and Bernstein, the Senate put together the Watergate Committee to investigate, and they actually had like big televised hearings. Huh. And it was those hearings involving former White House counsel John Dean testifying about Nixon's direct involvement in the cover up. Mm-hmm. They eventually, they got him. he was the pivotal flip. And they got it because of very famous, we call smoking gun evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a tape recording system in the Oval Office. Nixon was paranoid as hell. He recorded his conversations, which reminds me of James Comey. Lordy, I hope there's tapes. So you'd all hear what a thug he was. We had one of the heads of the FBI being like, this guy is acting like a mob boss, and they're still, what the, anyway. We had tapes. There was a big legal battle over whether he could even be compelled to release mm-hmm. the tapes. And a big, big, big Supreme Court case. They ruled that, yes, Nixon did have to turn over the tapes. And the smoking gun evidence, they had a tape from June 23rd, just within the week of the break-in, revealed Nixon talking about a plan to use the CIA to obstruct the FBI investigation into the break-in. And that's the conversation that proved Nixon was part of the cover-up from the beginning.
Damn. So you can't really claim he wasn't involved at that point.
Not a crook.
Not a crook.
Not a crook. Do I look Cuban?
that was good.
This gets me to my absolute favorite conspiracy theory ever of all time, and that is brought to us by Jesse Ventura in one of his books. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, brace for it. Should I take that part out? It's more believable if I just say I came up with it, right?
That Jesse Ventura, yeah.
So he links a thread from the Bay of Pigs to the Kennedy assassination to Watergate.
Oh, geez.
And so Nixon was part of the CIA. He was mm-hmm. high up in the CIA, and he oversaw the group, including E. Howard Hunt. He had a group of operatives, and they were the ones who got burned in Bay of Pigs, at the Bay of Pigs. The Bay of Pigs being that famous CIA operation to take down Castro, and at the last mm-hmm. minute, Kennedy pulled army support. So instead of CIA operatives and Cuban American soldiers storming the beach with air support, it was just them storming the beach, and they got slaughtered.
Right.
Yeah, failed miserably, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Big time. Big time. They got slaughtered. So you had the group of CIA guys who were involved in that were not happy, and they blamed Kennedy.
And I bet not.
Nixon was running against Kennedy on the election. By this time, by the time of the Kennedy assassination, he wasn't overseeing those group of CIA officers any longer.
But he still was friends.
But the theory is that he believed they killed Kennedy. And now I actually recommend the book American Conspiracies. It's a fun ride, even if you don't believe the threads. One of very interesting things is he's got a picture of E. Howard Hunt next to a picture of one of the homeless guys on the road in the Grassy Knoll area. And like, it's the same guy. It's like, what's the difference between these two photos? He's got a picture of a guy there in Dallas at the steps of the library that looks just like George Bush Sr., who is a CIA guy.
Oh, HW, yeah.
The original G.H. Bush, right? Bush the first.
Herbert Walker.
And it looks a lot like him. It could be somebody else, but it looks a lot like him. And he famously is like, I can't remember where I was the day Kennedy was shot. I remember what I was doing the day Princess Diana died. Like, those things just kind of get seared into your brain when you hear about him.
Right.
So the idea is that Nixon at the time believes they did it. He doesn't know whether or not they did, but he believes, he has enough reason to believe they're the ones who killed Kennedy.
The CIA guys.
Yes, his old group that he used to run.
Okay.
And he got wind, they got some bad intel that the DNC had evidence linking that group to Kennedy's assassination and mm-hmm. to Nixon, and that they were going to leak it to take him down.
Wow. Okay.
And he's saying, Ventura says that it's that that provides the level of pressure for them to stay around so long, searching through the cabinets to go back again and fix the bugs. Nixon was freaking out, and he didn't think that his guys were telling him the truth. These are the guys he hired to do Watergate, right? Howard Hunt, right. And G. Gordon Liddy. Well, Liddy was FBI. He wasn't part of the CIA thing, but Howard Hunt definitely was. And what's his, the other guy, John,
McCord?
Come on, no, go get gadget notes. McCord, yes, James McCord, yeah. Anyway, so they go and Nixon is facing impeachment by the House for all of this, because it does come to light he was taking a role from the get go, and it all came out thanks to those tapes, active role. And he, instead of getting impeached, he resigned. And first president resigning from office, his vice president assumed the presidency and pardoned him.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't do anything wrong, but gets a pardon.
Just in case.
Know, the parallels, history rhyming, like, I think of Roger Stone, who I think was actually a young activist at the time.
Quite the Nixon acolyte, yes.
Yeah, he's a Nixon lover.
I mean, he's got the Nixon tattoo and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Creep. Roger Stone worked for Creep in 1972.
The
committee to reelect the president. Yeah.
One Creep to another.
So
another Creep.
take that mantle.
He would later be pardoned for his crimes by a president, right? Like, there's some rhyming here. It's wild, because I don't think in this polarized climate of circled wagons politics, I don't think a party, I don't think the Republican Party, I think the Democrats might. I don't think the Republican Party would ever clearly get behind sinking their guy. Doesn't matter what he did. Doesn't matter.
No, not anymore.
Doesn't matter justice. This is something.
Go team.
I don't feel like the climate would support that any longer.
No, the climate's become too much us against them, and we got to protect us, and it doesn't matter.
Okay, everybody, get back in the time machine. We got to get back to a time when presidents aren't committing crimes and pardoning people for their political crimes. Oh, shit.
Gotta go way back to the beginning.
We didn't go anywhere. hey, everybody, thanks for joining us on this journey today. We hope you had a good time. Maybe you learned a thing or two. I know I did, reading about Watergate, refreshing my memory. I didn't realize today, the thing I learned, I didn't realize they broke in a week earlier. We do encourage everyone, reach out to us at halfcocktails, T-A-L-E-S, at gmail.com. Maybe you want to send us a text or a voice message to 443-499-8253, or even just drop a comment over on TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram, or our website, halfcocktails.com. If you're in a giving mood, you can find us on Patreon or halfcocktails.com/shop. Also, for all of these, we've got a little bit of a deeper dive over on the website. You can check that out. You can find not only this story, but some fun history, as well as all of our other favorite articles and that lovely game, Fact Check in Time. Until next time, machine.
I see what you did there.
I noticed the similarity of the words.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.